You know the maneuver I'm talking about. The examiner points down at a silo or a lone tree in the middle of a field and says, "Okay, let's see a turn around that." And something in your chest tightens because you know the wind is going to have its way with you, and you know the examiner is watching every foot of that radius. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern here on Radio Hangar. Today we're going to talk about turns around a point. It's a maneuver that sinks more applicants than it should. Not because it's hard, but because most students never really understand what's happening underneath them. So let's walk through this together. By the end of the next 20 minutes, I want you to actually look forward to this one on your check ride, I mean that. Before we dig in, let me give a shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Flight training is a long road, and it's full of little victories that nobody throws you a party for. A coin is a nice way to mark the ones that mattered. AviationSoul.com, all right, turns around a point. Here's the thing the Airman Certification Standards is actually asking for. The ACS wants you to fly a constant radius circle around a fixed point on the ground while maintaining your altitude and your airspeed and dividing your attention between flying the airplane and watching for traffic. That's the whole game. A constant radius. A circle that looks like a circle from above, not an egg, not a spiral, not a teardrop. And here is the part that trips everybody up. If there were no wind, this maneuver would be trivial. You'd roll into one bank angle, hold it, and fly a perfect circle every single time. You could do it in your sleep. The only reason this maneuver exists, the only reason it's worth testing, is the wind. Let me explain why. When you're flying a circle around a point, your ground speed is constantly changing. Think about it. When the wind is at your tail, pushing you, your ground speed is high, you are moving across the ground fast. When you turn into the wind is now holding you back, and your ground speed drops. You're crawling across the ground. Here's something I wish someone told me when I was training. The bank angle you need to hold a constant radius depends entirely on your ground speed. The faster you're moving over the ground, the steeper you have to bank to pull the airplane around that circle. The slower you're moving over the ground, the shallower you bank. So a turn around a point is really a turn where your bank angle is changing the entire way around. It is never static. The moment your bank stops changing, you are no longer flying a circle. Let that sink in, because that's the secret the whole maneuver is built on. Let's make it concrete. Picture yourself entering the maneuver, the ACS. And pretty much every instructor in the country will tell you to enter on a downwind heading. That means you start the maneuver with the wind at your back. Why downwind? Because that's where your ground speed is highest, which means that's where you need your steepest bank of the entire maneuver. And by entering there, you've capped your maximum bank right at the start. You know it's only going to get shallower from there. It's a way of protecting yourself from overbanking. So you roll in on the downwind, abeam your point, wings level, and the point is off your wingtip. You roll into your steepest bank. For most trainers, in a moderate wind, that's somewhere around 40 to 45 degrees at the steepest. Don't quote me a number for your airplane and your day, because it depends entirely on your radius and the wind speed, but downwind is where it lives. Now you start coming around. As you turn from downwind toward a crosswind heading, the tailwind component is bleeding off. Your ground speed is dropping, and so gradually, smoothly, you have to be shallowing that bank. Not all at once, a continuous gentle relaxation of bank pressure as you come around. You keep coming. Now you're turning into the wind. This is the slowest part. Your ground speed is at its minimum because the wind is right on your nose, holding you back, and this is where your bank is at its shallowest. In a strong wind, you might be down to 10 or 15 degrees of bank here, almost wings level, just easing around. Then you keep going, the wind starts coming around to your tail again, ground speed builds back up, and you steepen the bank progressively until you're back to your steepest at the downwind. And you've drawn a circle. Steepest downwind, shallowest upwind, constantly changing in between. That's the rhythm. If you can feel that rhythm, you've got the maneuver. Now let's talk about the mistakes, because this is a common mistake segment, and I promised you practical. The number one mistake I see by a mile is students fixating on the point and forgetting about wind correction on the sides. Here's what happens. You're so locked on to keeping that silo off your wingtip that you forget the wind is also blowing you sideways, off your circle entirely, when you're on the crosswind portions. On the parts of the circle where the wind is hitting you from the side, you need to crab. You need to adjust your bank to account for the wind trying to either blow you away from the point or squeeze you in toward it. When the wind is blowing you toward the point, you need to be a little shallower than ground speed alone would suggest, to keep from getting pushed in too tight. When the wind is blowing you away from the point, you need a touch more bank to keep from getting blown out wide. This is the subtle stuff. This is the difference between a circle and a lopsided potato. Second big mistake. Students bank by the numbers instead of flying the picture. They decide, okay, 45 here, 30 there, 15 at the top, and they try to fly those numbers like a recipe. Don't do that. The wind doesn't read your recipe. You have to look outside, watch your radius to the point, and adjust the bank to keep that distance constant. The point should stay the same distance from you the whole way around. If it's getting closer, you're too steep. Tighten or loosen accordingly. If it's drifting away, you need more bank. Fly the picture, not the protractor. Third mistake, and this one's an altitude killer. When you roll into a steeper bank, the airplane wants to descend because you've tilted your lift vector and you've lost some of the vertical component that was holding you up. So on the downwind side in your steepest bank, you need a little back pressure and maybe a touch of power thinking to hold altitude. And as you shallow out on the upwind side, you relax that back pressure. Students who don't anticipate this end up porpoising. They climb on the shallow side and dive on the steep side, and the examiner watches that altimeter unwind through the tolerance. What's the tolerance for the private ACS? You're held to plus or minus 100 feet of your entry altitude, and plus or minus 10 knots on airspeed. That's not a lot of room, but it's totally doable if you're anticipating the back pressure changes instead of reacting to them after the fact. Let me give you a real scenario, the kind of thing that actually plays out. You're on your check ride. The examiner picks a point, you set up, you enter on the downwind like a good student. First quarter of the circle goes beautifully, then you come around to the upwind side, and you notice the point is drifting out away from you. Your circle's getting too big on that side. What do you do? Here's where applicants panic and slam in a bunch of bank. Don't. Add bank smoothly and only as much as you need. Watch the point and bring your radius back. The examiner is not looking for a perfect geometric circle drawn by a machine. The examiner is looking for a pilot who recognizes a deviation and corrects it smoothly and with authority. Recognition and correction, that's what passes check rides. A small wobble that you catch and fix cleanly is worth more than a stiff, lucky circle where you got away with not understanding anything. Now, how do you practice this so it's solid by check ride day? Start by picking your point well. A good point is isolated and easy to see. A lone tree, a silo, a road intersection out in the country, a single building in a field. Bad points are things that blend into a cluttered background, or points right next to a bunch of other identical things where you lose track of which one you picked. Set yourself up for success, and please, pick a point well away from houses and livestock. We're not buzzing anybody. Keep it rural, keep it neighborly. Altitude, the ACS. Has you doing this between 600 and 1,000 feet above the ground? I like to have students practice right around 800 to 1,000. Low enough that you get a good sense of your drift and ground speed changes, high enough to give you margin. And here's a safety note I will not gloss over, you're maneuvering at low altitude with your attention divided. Clear the area first. Do clearing turns. Keep your head on a swivel for other traffic and for towers and wires. The ACS explicitly wants you dividing attention and maintaining situational awareness. And that's not just a box to check. At 800 feet, an engine hiccup gives you very little time. Know where you'd put it down, stay sharp. Here's a practice trick that builds the right instinct. Before you ever start the maneuver, figure out the wind. Look at the smoke, the dust, a flag, the ripples on a pond, the way the grass is laying over. Or just remember the winds from your weather briefing and the last time you looked at the windsock. Know which side of your circle is the downwind side before you roll in. If you walk into the maneuver already knowing the wind's out of the west, so my steepest bank is going to be on the east side of the circle where I've got a tailwind, you are so far ahead of the airplane. You're predicting instead of reacting. And reacting is the enemy here. Anytime you find yourself surprised by the airplane in this maneuver, it means the wind got ahead of you. The fix is always to think one quarter of the circle ahead. I'm on the downwind now, steep, but in a few seconds I'm coming into the crosswind and I'll need to start shallowing. Stay ahead of it. Let me tie this to the bigger picture, because turns around a point isn't really about turns around a point. The reason the commercial and private standards include ground reference maneuvers at all is to teach you wind awareness while you're maneuvering close to the ground. And where do you maneuver close to the ground on every single flight? The traffic pattern. That's the whole name of the show, and it's no accident. Every time you fly a pattern, you're doing a version of this. Your basta final turn with a tailwind pushing you toward the runway is the exact same physics as the downwind side of your circle. That's why people overshoot final and then crank in a steep, low, uncoordinated turn to salvage it. That's the impossible circle stretch happening right where it can hurt you. If you genuinely understand turns around a point, you understand why you got blown through the centerline, and you'll set up your pattern to account for it. This maneuver is training your eye and your hands for the most dangerous turns you'll ever make. That's why the examiner cares. That's why you should too. So let's bring it home with your takeaways for the next flight. Enter on the downwind, where your ground speed and your bank are at their max. Steepest downwind, shallowest upwind, and a smooth continuous change in between. Fly the picture, not the numbers, and keep that point a constant distance off your wing. Anticipate the back pressure so your altitude stays nailed through the bank changes, and know your wind before you roll in, so you're always thinking a quarter circle ahead. And remember what the examiner is actually grading. Not perfection, recognition, and correction, done smoothly, while you keep your eyes outside and your situational awareness up. Show them a pilot, not a machine. The standards I quoted come straight from the FAA's Airman Certification Standards and the Airplane Flying Handbook, and they're free to download, so go read the ground reference section tonight. It's a short read and it'll make all of this click. If you found this useful, there's more where it came from over at radiohanger.com. Go fly this one in calm air first, then go find yourself a windy day and a lonely silo, and really learn it. That windy day is the one that'll make you good. I'm Pattern. Keep the point off your wing, and I'll see you next time.